One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Nothing says I'm a wonderful person than getting off a plane in Nigeria wearing a rhinestoned USA cap. God. What? Just why don't you just hold up a sign that just that says like a big white poster board that says, I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Well, no, that's part of it. That it's
and
it's,
I smell like Marlboro Reds.
And then the face mask. I don't know if you saw the next frame is also American.
Yeah.
I think that is saying, I think there's a certain group of people who think that them showing their pride at being an American is trying to show how they should be treated or something.
I think it's intimidation.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying about how they should be treated.
Yeah.
But no, y'all, this is Reality Gaze, part two of what is the name of this episode?
Out of my system.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Season 7, episode 6, Out of My System. Woo! Y'all, this was kind of like, we did part one. I actually had a good time. Again, it's always interesting. Sometimes this is one of those episodes where the episode was fine. I have a better time with you talking about it. Then I feel like this is episode 6, which is often kind of a filler episode.
No,
like,
this would be the one of the first two queens who got sent home on Drag Race. Filler queens.
Yeah.
These were filler queen. This is a filler queen.
So it's a filler queen episode.
This was LaDonna Fayette.
Unless you are Kimberly in a nightclub. That was gold. That was great.
She still had some good lines. This episode.
I will argue with anyone that says that they want her offered this show. I will argue with them and tell them they're wrong. And she is great on this show.
She's She's great TV.
She is.
I don't know if, associating her and the word great is not what I would do.
It's what I'm using. I'm enjoying it. I hope Kimberly and Usman ride this train for as long as they can.
I think she's an utter laughingstock. And I think that a lot of our listeners enjoy, and we have a lot of fun at her expense.
We do.
I would feel worse if she wasn't an angel of light. And that's what it kind of feels like to me sometimes.
It it was interesting watching both of them.
I know, me too.
Why was, we, maybe, I don't think we consciously did it, why we're going to talk about Kimberly in the first half.
And Angela. Usman,
and Angela and Michael in the second half. Because it's, there are similarities, but it is so different. The way Michael acts versus the way Usman acts. And the way, and so...
But you can't... But you can't help but compare them because
compare and contrast.
Yeah, they're both going to Nigeria. They're both white women of a slightly advanced age.
Yes,
going to Nigeria to find their African princes.
But again, the difference of the where it's like, I don't think Michael, like where I say, and I still stand by this. Usman and Kimberly are perfect for one another. And if you argue with me on that, watch this episode where Usman completely belittles her and makes and basically acts so entitled because he's Soja Boy. Whereas Michael, I think Michael is a good guy.
Yeah.
Who just got with the wrong woman, y'all. He got the wrong bitch.
I think, and this is also a question of, we've talked about this before where people who need to get out of their surroundings that just don't work for them, and they'll do anything. They'll see an opportunity and they'll take it and they'll say, this person's good enough to be nearby. And yes. Then there's the idea of, does he really love her? How could someone love Angela though after the way she's behaved to him?
Yeah.
So that's what I question. At the same time, I don't think he's scamming me. I think he would have left you way before now if he was scamming you, and I think he would have chosen a better mark.
Unless this is another episode or reboot of The Americans, I don't think he's playing the long con. I don't think that's happening.
And I want to talk about that when we get, and this is a weird thing, but I'm going to expand on this later, but I want to just throw it out there. I feel like this is the first time that the Americans are often in this series are at least painted as the protagonist and the one who we should try to root for. I think this has stopped being the case with Angela, even from the view of the camera.
Yeah, they're making her out to be kind of the villain. Yeah.
I think this was one of the first seasons where we've stopped, and I think that scene with Michael is all we needed to see. Is it got his perspective on it, which we hadn't had before.
Which we finally
and
got.
I don't know. It's not that I think they even have a responsibility to put only people we want to root for, because y'all, the only reason they're putting people in the show nowadays, I think it changed from like season one, maybe up to about season. I think Danielle was the big game changer, Danielle and Nicole. I think they learned what mess could do to an audience.
I think Danielle, Nicole, and then Paul and Karini solidified.
Oh,
they solidified that we just want people you're going to talk about at the water cooler.
Did it get worse? Did it get better? Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Because but here
it's
we
so
are.
Good. It's so good. Hey, we talked about this on the live show, but now I know some of you don't listen to the live shows. But if you
how dare you?
Some people don't. I don't care if you do
I
or not.
Pour
you don't
my heart and soul into those and a lot of vodka.
You pour yourself into very small costumes and show your testicles. That's happened.
That has only happened once.
Twice. twice. Can't go back to Phoenix, y'all. We got a letter about that. But okay, we had a little bit of tea about Kimberly. That we're gonna talk about. First, we want to remind people, go to our Linktree link and TikTok and Instagram. That's where you can get tickets for the Double It
website.
Tour. Yes, and our website. Well, it's not on the website to buy tickets yet, but we do our Reality Gaze website's up. You can leave an Apple Podcast or a Spotify review there.
Yay!
And so we really love our new website. So that's happening. But We also want to remind you, any other announcements before we jump into Kimberly and Usman?
Love is Blind Season 3 coming October 19th. We will be dropping all the episodes that they drop at 12:01 on October 20th because we're trying to create event television.
Beep, boop, boop. Also, we're going to be dropping From the Vault, from the Reality Vault. Yes, from the Reality Gate. You got to work better on that sound. That just sounds
not
like
bad.
Sounds like your butthole opening. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, y'all. If you listen to the NASA black holes, Poodle went, why does that sound familiar? And then every once in a while you hear
Cthulhu breathing.
Hi. But God, we're ridiculous. So. Is where we are.
That's so, the first Cthulhu joke of this episode, but it won't be the last.
Won't be the last. But From the Vault, Reality Gauge Plus Vault, y'all, we're putting out all of season one of Love is Blind that aired two and a half years ago.
Yeah, way back in February of 2020.
Yeah, we've never done something like this. We're seeing how it goes. And we're also putting out because season two was kind of there were some things we liked about it, but not as much as season one. It was such an event. And
it was all casting. It was all casting. Season two was all casting for me. Yeah.
Yes. But we've had a sneak peek because of our relationship with Netflix. We've seen, we're going to tell you that you prepare
I cannot say anything.
No, you cannot. Except for you want to watch it, y'all. You definitely want to watch it.
Yeah. That I can agree with.
You want to watch it.
I may have already cried several times.
You cry every episode.
Maybe.
All right, everybody.
Maybe I have a heart and you're just like ashes.
Beauty committed ashes.
Is that Celine? Is that a non-out release song off of a Celine album?
No, that was a big song because it's from the Deadpool movie. You haven't seen the video of Deadpool dancing in heels to that? It's fucking hilarious.
No, what song? Is that Celine, though?
Yeah. Lip Beauty, I want to go over here. It's so good. Which, by the way, there is big...
I don't think I've ever seen a Deadpool movie.
That's like, you don't watch any comic book movies. That's the one comic book movie you would love. You would love, because it's irreverent.
Okay, I'll look at them. I'm sure it's funny.
It's great. And big news in that. I know Poodle, you've got your corners, but
I've got my corner in this episode.
That comic book corner right here now is that.
Oh, we're doing a comic book corner.
Well, you're talking about whatever you want. I mean, why not? I just came to which actually came up because you were talking about Celine. But Hugh Jackman is going to be in Deadpool 3, and people are fucking freaking out as Wolverine.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And it's a big deal because Marvel now owns all of that and didn't own the rights to that. That was Sony forever and Fox. And Marvel owns that now. That's why all these X-Men people are coming in. So, yes, if you saw Logan, which Hugh Jackman, I think, still should have been nominated for an Oscar for because he was pretty fucking great in that movie.
I did see that movie because it was more of a drama.
And spoiler alert, Wolverine dies at the end. And people are like, what's happening? This movie takes place before that movie because that was in 2021.
I don't care what studio owns what. So you're not allowed to say shit like that anymore.
Hey, no, if you can have a Broadway, some people care about comic book stuff and it's important to me.
No, you can care about comic books, but like you don't say so and so owns whatever studio.
Point. That's what opens it up. That's why now we had in Doctor Strange 2, we had Fantastic Four characters. It's the best time to be a comic nerd right now. That's all I have to say. The best time.
Let's move on.
I wanted to talk.
I'm going to talk about something in a minute that actually matters.
You know what? I'm going to say that to you when you talk about something that doesn't matter to me. Now, so what you brought this up in the light, I'll let you talk because you remember better than me. But we kind of almost that we had some Kimberly tea about like past relationships. And so we talked about it on the live show, but not everybody listens.
Oh,
so what
okay.
just came out last
she,
week?
She married her second husband when she was corresponding with him in prison. In other words, he was in prison.
Whoa.
And whoa.
She was a
for murder, I believe.
Wife to
So this my question. Did Kimberly apply to be on Love After Lockup and got denied And then and now
so she's like, I'll try 90 Day.
We almost had a crossover, y'all. Can you imagine Kimberly?
Says, but they were married in like a fucking jailhouse so
this
marriage.
This is love during lockup, which is coming back. Oh my God.
So good. Ty, y'all. Ty's getting married. That's October 21st, I believe.
Love After Lockup is good. Deontay is coming to our DC show,
yes,
y'all.
Y'all, our DC show is going to be, like half of it anyway, is going to be mostly focused on Love After Lockup. We'll be talking about some Happily Ever After stuff as well. We're doing that on all the live shows.
We meant to say this in part one, and we should say that, we're going to be talking about some of these shows coming up. We're going to do, we were going to talk about the schedule, but anytime we're not... Like on Tampa, we're going to talk about Single Life one night.
The first night show is going to be Single Life, but we're always going to be talking about Happily Ever After.
Always going to be talking about, hey, that's actually that schedule I can tell y'all now. In Atlanta, we're going to be talking about Happily Ever After, the episode that airs next week, episode 7, part 1. New York City, we're going to talk about episode 7, part 2. DC is going to be Life After Lockup, the episode, I think it's 421, who knows the fucking number, but it's the
episode. That's airing on the 7th.
Yes, it's airing on the 7th. And then Tampa, the first night, it's going to be Single Life, episode 5, I believe, of season 3.
I think
3.
That's right.
And then
that
who
or
knows,
6.
Yeah,
whatever's airing most recently.
Yeah, on that Monday. And who the fuck knows what we're talking about on 10-15?
Ooh, you'll find out soon.
It's Poodle's birthday show, and I'm... not thrilled about it, but it is what it is, y'all. It is what it is.
I was not thrilled about the idea of a birthday show, but then when you told me I could talk about whatever I wanted to, no rules apply.
I've got all these surprises.
There's
planned.
No rules. There's so many, no rules.
So many surprises coming.
I don't like that.
So many.
Anyway, let's just jump in. Let's jump into this this mess. Kim and Uthman. He's just dancing in the mirror, y'all. Yep. Just enjoying, getting ready for his birthday party.
Well, he has a new single out now with a new dance.
There's a dance.
I'm not gonna lie, y'all. His music's not terrible.
It slaps. It's good.
It's good. It's a song. It's pretty good. And it's like a dance that they want people to try on TikTok. It's pretty good. Maybe you and I should try to do the dance.
He invented a TikTok dance?
Yes. Maybe we should try to do it.
That man is a magician.
He is talented.
Can't he do? I don't know if I'd say he's talented.
I don't think he can actually marry a woman from the U.S. He hasn't done that yet. I don't know if he's going to get there. That's the one thing.
You know what, though? He has crossed the Rubicon. He's come so close to crossing that Rubicon.
You know, he's kind of like what I said about Bilal, not in the worst way, because he's not a monster like Bilal, but, and I don't think he has a personality disorder per se, but Usman does love Usman, and that really is Usman's big problem.
He's a manipulator, too.
But he's so entitled about how wonderful he is, he shows his ass, and it prevents him from doing a full good con, whereas someone like, it's that same thing in Muhammad, where they just can't help but being themselves.
Yeah, and it's a shame because if Muhammad could have been someone else less shitty, of Danielle, and both Muhammads turned out to be cons.
Yes,
Muhammad, and also Danielle's Muhammad.
Didn't Muhammad and they filed for divorce already?
They're done. She filed for divorce. But don't know if that means he goes back to Egypt. I don't know.
I don't know if it's been 2 years or not. Who knows?
I don't know. So let's just jump into this. He wants Kim to be on her best behavior.
Yes.
Normally I would say, look at him talking down to her, but she does throw something almost every time. So I kind of understand.
Again, terrible. They're both terrible.
You can't put drinks around her.
No, you can't. You can't. Yep. And Usman, his threat is if she misbehaves, like a child, if she misbehaves at
this
party.
Don't get to go see mama.
How many times did Mother Poodle use threat? Like, if you don't behave, you won't get to do it. I bet that was
the only
occurrence.
Thing that worked. Let's just say I could be called a willful child.
Wow.
No, I was told, Jaybird, if you don't go to bed... now, you're not going to get, you won't be able to do something. Or if I tell you one more time, you're going to have to go to bed.
What was the thing she would take if she knew she took it away from you? That would be terrible for you.
If I didn't get to either watch something on TV or I didn't get to go to something, like didn't get to go to my aunt's house,
Aunt James,
for a sleepover or something like that, or she would threaten to spank us, but I can count on one hand the number of times I was ever spanked. But we were
by your mother.
Yeah. We were great.
By other
I stand corrected.
Yeah. Make sure to add by Mother Poodle.
Many. Yeah, I can count a lot on my ass. You can actually see the marks. I'll never forget the one time. Usually you are in doggy when this is happening.
Wow.
And one time a guy.
Wow, this is some Kama Sutra.
A guy did that, and I was like, oh! And I went, did I like that? I think I liked it. And I liked it. I could smell the whiskey on their breath.
There's always that first spank, and you always do ask yourself,
and he goes,
is this me?
What?
Is this me, or is this not me?
You do have to ask yourself, is this me?
It's not me. I know
answer,
that.
The answer for me in the heat of the moment is usually, hell yeah, it is.
It's Poodle. It's Poodle.
It's like the first time someone tried to choke me. I was like, is this okay?
It's like Wah from DocuSweeties, which we are planning on. We got to reach out. We're going to, after our tour, we're going to do a tour.
Yeah.
Y'all, if you, just a shout out, because they're a new show, who dis? It's our friend Chris Fair and Wahima.
DocuSweeties.
Yes, DocuSweeties, y'all. They are. I know they cover 90 Day Fiancé.
They do all kinds of stuff.
I meant to mention them on
anything that's documentary
podcast
based. Anything that's like has a slant towards that.
But they're both hilarious. They both have great perspectives.
We've done shows with both of them.
We love them both. I think Wah just did something with Blighty Day.
Yep, she did.
So anyway, shout out to DocuSweeties. Check them out. They're wonderful, wonderful show.
They're on YouTube as well as. They're on podcast.
Yeah, they got their shit together on the YouTube thing, podcast. We're not together on that. But you can get us on Apple subscriptions.
Both of us are a little afraid of it.
Reality Gates Plus, it's coming. Well, okay, you were talking about spanking.
Steal my soul.
Oh, God. And that just made me think of, oh, God, next week we're going to see Jenny and Sumit in a Kama Sutra position. And I can't wait. This was, except for Kim and Usman, all the couples are so serious this season. So when it made me miss Jenny and Sumit because they.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's when we don't have them, it feels heavy.
It's
really plotting. So you guys, we're at the birthday in the bluest club that ever blew.
Ever existed. I'm Blue Barter. And hello, Kimberly.
These are
my friends.
Gay Club Glitter Mix.
It is on your.
Eiffel 65.
That sounds like one of Usman's friends.
That's
actually
true.
Was like, wait a minute.
This
is that a
Beza
name? I didn't...
King, Beeswax, Eiffel 65.
I don't know.
And I like it. And Kimberly's like, oh, yeah, we're like best friends. It's fine. Yeah.
Farm Road, 1410. Like, yeah. That would be my, if I was a country like rapper, my road would be like, Farm Road 87. That would be my name.
Wait, there are actual roads called Farm Road in Oklahoma?
No, you didn't see it. They were all over in Texas, like in Denton, if you went down to Louisville and all that.
Oh, until it used to be called Farm Road.
If you see FM, that means Farm Road.
Oh, I didn't know.
You didn't know that? Yeah, FM, no. That means Farm Road. So you'll see them out like in, like if you go to, I think it was in Bakersfield. They're even in California and like Central. You'll see that. But it was a Texas, Oklahoma thing, yeah. For sure.
What would be
your rap name, Poodle?
DJ Poodle Jizzle.
Wow. Jizzle. I don't want to ask where that came from.
I think you know.
But I think I think I know. Like Beza King. Okay, I get that. But where's
Beeswax?
Where's Beeswax? Because Beeswax.
I'm sure it's a simple thing.
Is that actually exciting? I don't know. Space Cash? Okay. Space Cash. Here we
go. It may be translation. It may be something from like something like that. I don't know.
All right, whatever.
So KB comes in. That's who she threw the milkshake in front of. So he's already KB. Terrified.
No. KB two.
Well, but they call him KB. That's his short name.
But his formal Christian name is KB two. Yes. We get facts right here at Reality Gaze.
Right. Well, they've introduced him as KB before. That's mm-hmm. how they referred to him. And this is the guy who was there. Then she even said, he says, no, can I talk to you over here? This is not my culture, so I don't know a lot about it. Yeah, and yeah. She's trying to save face the best she can.
She said, I'm not that kind of girl. Unless I'm really upset. If I'm really upset, then I'm that kind of girl. I'm not that girl.
I'm not that girl.
Whoa, is that a milkshake?
Y'all be sure to check our Reality Gaze Insta for a really good Kimberly meme.
The guy even says, I believe she regrets what she did, but like we have a saying in Hausa, jealousy is breakfast to females. And y'all, Kimberly has eaten a country boy special slammer at Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
She's gotten the country ham. Mm-hmm. She's gotten the sausage. Mm-hmm. She's gotten the biscuits with the apples. She's gotten the eggs anyway. The hash brown casserole. Yes.
You know you can order that. I've ordered Cracker Barrel from Uber Eats or Postmates in LA.
I'm afraid to because I'll like it and want it weekly.
You should do it, though. It's birthday month for you.
That's right. I'm going to do
it's
it
October.
Once.
It's October.
I can't imagine the eggs staying really hot.
I didn't get eggs. I got like I couldn't eat all of it. I was thankfully, but I got a chicken fried chicken and some, hash brown casserole and then some green beans. And I enjoyed it.
Sounds like someone was eating their feelings.
Well, it's been a rough year. So yes, I did. But I could eat like half of it, and then I felt sick. It'd been so long.
So y'all, everything's going great. Everyone's having a good time. Kimberly's the way she likes it. She's the only girl.
Throw down. I'm a party. I'm a party. I know how to party.
And all of a sudden, a woman walks in.
I need to get better music.
Yes, yeah, that y'all. Sucks. There's got to be a way to edit in some of that. So she's like, y'all, her face, that we also have a meme about that.
We should say a gorgeous woman walks. A gorgeous young woman walks
yes.
in.
Yes, let's clarify. And she's like, I did not know there was another woman coming. I was not made aware. I am not a jealous person. I'm not a jealous person.
What did she say? Oh, I gotta write this. Where did I say?
Usman did not mention he was bringing a female friend to his birthday party.
What did she say? She said,
she's everything.
She's like, I'm really confident. I'm a very confident woman, but she is everything I'm not.
And I went, that's the antithesis of confident when you literally validate.
I mean,
all the insecurities.
I find myself very, very attractive.
Yes, but maybe
she's fucking gorgeous.
She's like, yeah, she's everything I'm not. And then she said,
but I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous.
That's the thing where she'll look down and she said, maybe I'm jealous about her age.
She kind of wipes her mouth and like,
genius editing. I will say the story editor and these producers who are producing their segments are having a fucking blast. This has been the best stuff of the season. Them and Jenny and Sumit.
Exactly, yeah. exactly.
So we find out this woman's name is Ali, and she's in music PR. So
he does the PR. So
she
all
is
of that-
someone who you don't want to piss off, who is working closely with Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
And
she probably got in the personalized plate for his car.
So he basically, he's like, he didn't tell me he had a female. She says, oh my God, it's so good to meet you. He did not tell me he had a female friend. And that's the first thing she says.
First thing. And poor Kimberly, like she's sitting there talking to Usman. She's like, I'm going to talk. Let's talk to Kimberly. I want to have girl talk. And this is going to be Kimberly now. Anytime she meets a young woman, she's like, are you going to be the second wife? she just fucking asked her, are you a second wife? And the woman's like, no. Alex's like, what the fuck?
In fact, I think it's time for another episode of Reality Gaze Theater.
All right.
Nigeria edition in the bluest club in the world. I'll be playing the role of Allie, who had no idea what she was just signed up for.
She didn't.
And you'll be playing,
yes,
Kimbali, the least jealous person in the world.
I'm not jealous.
And action. What did you need to tell me?
Excuse me. Kimbali, I'm just gonna sit by this beautiful woman who I'm not intimidated by at all, Uthman. I'm just gonna.
Oh, you don't
right
have
here.
To worry about
just
me at all.
Sit right here. Hello. Hey, girlfriend. Hey, girlfriend. How are you? Let's talk.
It's so nice to meet you. Hi. Stop. I'd rather you not grab my hand, though. That's a little weird.
I'm a people person. I'm a people person. And I love people. And I just wanted to say hi and just want to get to know you. How do you know Uthman? How do you know Thojabo?
I'm PR person for his music. PR. Yeah, we're.
Does that mean potential receptacle for his semen? Are you going to have his baby? Is that what PR means?
Whoa. Slow down.
Are you the second woman? Whoa. Are you the baby? Are you going to have some yummy?
We are completely platonic.
What platonic? Platonic. What does that mean? Platonic, does that mean in Nigeria you're going to lay down and get a yummy and have a baby?
Well, it comes from a Plato root, so.
With Plato. Plato. Wait, does that mean you're going to have kids? Because you went by Plato. Because my son Jamal, he loved Plato when he was a kid, and now he's very creative. Are you having it, baby?
You don't have to worry about me. I promise. I'm a lesbian.
Did you ever think about that? But have you had his yummy? Because that's some good yummy.
I have not had his yummy, and that makes me feel. I don't know you actually, and it makes me feel a little weird that we're having this conversation.
I just need to know: are we cool? Are we cool?
I just want to be cool. Yeah,
I'm so cool.
We're cool. You're a 50-something year old woman that I've had one conversation with.
I'm not intimidated by that. I can tell you,
you've said you're not jealous 11 times here.
No,
so
I'm not jealous at all. And I smell youthful. You know why? Because I smell like Super Body Splash. Have you ever had that? Kimberly, Super Body Splash.
That was everything I thought it would be and more. I'm really sad we did not get more of this conversation because I guarantee you it was cringe.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to have some girl talk. As soon as she said girl talk, I went, I'm listening.
I've said it. I've said, we didn't talk. I think you wanted to skip over this. I'm not going to let you. So they leave the club. Y'all. Uthman wants to take her to a romantic dinner, and he says she behaved well last night, but apparently Uthman behaved better last night after the club. Because Kim was like, Uthman, did you see? I almost ended up in somebody else's hotel room last night.
She's hungover.
Through the headboard. Because you were slamming me. I mean, yummy, yummy, slammy, slammy.
But y'all, she had birthday yummy. Which is a phrase I don't think I'd ever thought about, but I can only imagine. I'm seeing the shape of a yammy, but it of course has like a little bow around it.
Yeah, I still don't think Uthman has the biggest dick that he wants to think. I do not think it is Deontay from Love After.
It's
Lockup.
Not Deontay, it but is I not. Think it's. I think it is large.
I think it probably looks large because he's kind of a small framed guy.
Yeah.
So I bet in proportion wise, it's like when you see like if you see like a guy who looks like the Mountain who's like 6'4" and huge, and he has like an 8-inch dick. It looks small. It looks like a 5-inch dick on a guy who's 6 feet.
So, y'all, he basically said, it was boom, boom, boom. Oh, my God. That's how good the birthday yammy was. Again, just saying the phrase birthday yammy, I'm tasting bile.
Yeah, I'm taping super
and, body, y'all, I'm super into body some freaky yammy. Shit.
You are.
So, she's like, they're at the romantic dinner in the middle of the day.
which is just a foldable table and some plastic chairs.
Yeah.
But whatever. It looks pretty. It does look pretty.
At one point, she's like, what is this food? She's like, what is it? Pepper catfish. Oh, it's like, because she's like, it's very great. She's like, it's very, very spicy.
Yeah, she eats it. She's like, whoa. This is...
Very, very spicy.
Spicy. Spicy.
And so, so I will say, I'm going to not defend, but rather Kimberly comes into this conversation.
This was smart on her. This was smart because she knew, she knows she gets heated and she knows she gets emotional and she starts basically, she loses all credibility.
And she, this is a great tactic, y'all. If you know you're going to have a conversation and that you're going to get heated about it,
yeah,
write down your points. That's
she wrote something on her, her WordPress blog.
Yeah.
She wrote it out.
Print it out. Because I will say in this conversation, Usman is the one who got aggressive and started yelling at her for no reason, I have to say.
He did.
He's a, and I still stand, she's horrible, she, but he's a dick.
She, well, there's other reasons that you have to look behind just their, just, it's, if you think about the geopolitics of her behavior, that's where things get worse.
But I agree, but I don't think it's worse. I don't think, I don't. I don't think it's worse that, if you think of, like, yes, the geopolitics, but also when I think about the way he is basically making up, I'm not defending that one's worse. I think they're just both equally. I think it's horrible the way he demeans a woman's validity and credibility with her age and her inability to have a child. But a lot of women are really sensitive about it.
I agree with you.
I know you do.
I don't think it's that simple, though. I think what he is saying is, he's being very pragmatic. He's saying, look, I want to marry you. I love you. But it's not going to – I, to live in my culture, to, and this is the most important thing for my mother, for me to have a child. So that's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. I have to have a child. And he talked to her about this, and he said the only way to do that – the problem is it's all magical thinking for her. He knows she's not going to go through it. I still really believe he knows this woman.
I feel like he does. Yeah, I just.
But I'm clarifying. So I don't think it's as, I don't think it's as direct of invalidating Kim, of saying Kim gets him on the show. That's what I'm talking about, the pragmatism. So I don't think it's, I don't think it's out of spite. It's just severe pragmatism. I don't think he feels anything, in that way. So
yeah, maybe it's less emotion, but I think though when he talks about like how he does everything for her, he does try to look at it like the only reason you're on this show, the only reason you're
he does look at it that way
is because of me, and I've given you all this. Yeah,
but what he's saying is you're doing 20% and I'm doing 80%. She freaks out because these are two people who don't know how to talk to one another.
That's
the communication style could not be more different. Also, the privilege that both of them come from and the places they were raised in could not be more different. So this is about him being extremely pragmatic and her being extremely emotional.
Yeah, that's true. They do kind of come to a crossroads with, which is, we said this last episode, which was so horrible of Kimberly. Why would you not want to know someone's child? And Usman brings up the point of, how would you feel if I didn't know Jamal? And she's like,
genius.
Whoa.
Genius.
Okay. That's a good point. I would be upset. But it's still, Kimberly still has this idea. She doesn't think, you're right, it's all emotional. Because if she was more pragmatic, why wouldn't you want Usman's wife to be in the U.S.? Why wouldn't you want that? Because then you would see him more.
No, it's all, this
but the fact that she wants him to stay over, it's this, we talked about this with like baby girl Lisa, where she's like, this is my country. Danielle would do this. It's such a... No, girl, it's not. Even taking that out, like, it's a way she's going to see her husband a lot more if his wife and children live in the U.S.
I think it's so simple.
So dumb.
It's simple while you're trying to figure it out, because she thinks Americans are on one plane and an African wife is on a different plane. It's that
no,
simple.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I agree
so,
with that.
So that's why she doesn't want an American. Mm-hmm. Can't be an American wife, because she's happy with an African wife who she never has to know the name, as she said, living in some city somewhere.
But see, to me, that is what is fascinating about them. She looks at it on that plane, but Usman totally looks at, I'm young and good looking. I'm on this plane, and because you're old and barren, you're down here. So it's very like the way they both have their entitlement about what they want to be entitled about is crazy. So that's what just why I'd like we make fun of them, but it is like we're so used to the like an Angela and Michael, we feel like Angela has all the power and Michael's been powerless. And so that is a harder storyline for me to watch because it feels like Michael's being taken advantage of. Whereas this, because they're both so shitty and entitled to one another, it's funnier, but it also is like, I think it's a reality check for some of these Americans that think, oh, I can do whatever I want because I'm American. Kimberly, no, you can't because Usman has a lot of the power in this relationship, girl. You do not.
I see what you're saying. It's power, yes. What it is, he can say at any moment we're done. And it is his biggest chip to cash out. Yep. And that's what's, and she tries to, if she were smarter and less emotional and more pragmatic like he is, she could make headway with this, but she's not. And I think that's the biggest issue here. And he basically says, what he was inferring is this whole, look what I'm giving up. What I was thinking is, look at every woman in this country wants me. I'm a star. And that's an awful thing to say. And that's when she is about to lose it. Mm-hmm. And the reason, and the thing is, she knows that. She is hyper aware of that.
Yeah.
Like just that woman. So it is a very layered relationship. Yeah. Layered in colonialism and layered in
ageism.
Yeah, ageism. Mm-hmm. And it's just, woo.
Who knew? Funny. And it's very funny. Who knew that this is why this season would be so good? It really is like how good it can be. And after this break, y'all, we're going to talk about how bad it can
Nigeria,
be.
Baby.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
We're back. We're back, y'all. Before we move on, I have one little corner for you.
Oh, a Broadway corner?
No. Not a Sister Wife corner either.
What? So now we're just a poo-poo platter. You know what? It's your birthday month. I'm going to let you have this.
You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to include the sissies who feel like they are watching things. And excuse me for being inclusive of our world.
That is bullshit. You're just talking about the hot guy you want to talk about.
That is a plus. Y'all, I'm going to talk about the new season of The Great British Bake Off. Sorry, The Great British Baking Show. Holy fuck. If you've ever said, why would I want to watch that? I don't like cooking. I don't like food shows. Why would I want to watch? British accents make me annoyed. Sorry, I just got choked.
I like those things, but I've never watched an episode.
It is a true testament how people can be civil to other human beings. They are the sweetest people. And when something goes wrong, they're like, oh, pity. And they do cry, but it's very funny. I prefer the older episodes with the two women who were the comedians more than the I'm okay with Matt Lucas. I don't like Noel Fielding.
Is this on BBC America, I'm assuming?
No, it's on Netflix.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Anyone can watch. Anyone.
Just like Piano Cat after 10 and 30, anyone can watch.
Exactly. But this is my – I will tell you now. I'm telling you for anyone who is having issues with either trying to go to bed or just the crazy in life right now, this show, if you've never watched it before, I would tell you – this season is full of these lovely British people and also the intricacy they have to go through with their bakes, their cookies, and then you get the ice blue eyes of Paul Hollywood and the judgmental face. And you get Prue's shirts and things she wears. But I just need to say, it is absolute wonderful viewing. If you need more joy and calmness in your life, try this season of The Great British Baking Show.
Food stuff normally is like that for me, too. It's calming.
But I need to tell you about some of the people of this show. Oh, number Jesus. One, Sandro. Sandro is gorgeous. He is gay.
Oh, God.
He is also a boxer. And he is, he's so hot.
Wait a minute. What? I just got interested. He's a gay boxer?
Yes. Yes.
Like, he puts on the boxing gloves and does gay stuff.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And he's of Angolan heritage.
So he'll put on a boxing outfit and you could play
and
punch out, but
feed
with
you
his
sponge
dick
cake
in your butt. Okay.
All
and
of
he
it.
Would make me dessert afterwards.
Yes.
Oh, that is your favorite thing. A hot guy who could kind of be a little rough with you and then feed you cake.
Oh,
those are your
guy.
Two favorite things.
I have lots of favorites. He's obviously my look favorite, but there's a black woman named Maxie who I really enjoy. There's a Scotsman named James who has a slight lisp. And I was like, I have never heard a gayer accent than a Scotch accent with combined with a lisp. That is just, I'm like, okay, it's official. You like it is just like I put the perfect cake for you. It is so I've never heard a gay.
I don't know
speech.
What you're talking about now because I'm just looking at Sandro now. He's got a huge dick.
Oh, it's huge.
Oh, huge. It's a girthy huge dick.
James is a favorite of mine. Carol with the purple hair and the pink hair. Like this is the cast is amazing.
Is it like Drag Race where they all get like they go they don't make
Shabira,
a thing and they go home like, they go home during the week.
One goes home okay. in a certain week. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's another there's the season
like Project
so gay.
Runway but with cake.
Yeah, but it's not as like it's not as American. Like I'm here. I'm not here to make friends. Everyone there is like helping each other.
Oh.
And it's just so sweet. I promise you, if you
it's
need
a feel
something
good TV.
In your it is. If you need something in your life, if you're like me and your soul is dark.
It is. It is.
That if you need something to kind of thaw you out, y'all, The Great British Baking Show, you will not be disappointed and you will not know how to pronounce any of these cakes or anything like that they're making. You don't have to make a cake. I'm not a baker, but I love watching this show.
I get it. I
That's
get it.
All That's, I want to say.
I get it. That's why I love Tabitha Brown. I love watching her make shit.
Are you happy when I finish that?
You know, you got me with the gay boxer who bakes. You should have started with that. You should have said, I don't want to talk about the show.
That.
I want to talk about the hot gay boxer who bakes cake. Ugh. And I would have said, let's talk about it. See, so if you're not selling yourself well, I can't be held responsible.
And as the season progresses, y'all, it gets more and more dicey. No, but no one's an asshole. On this season, anyway.
He could feed you icing in your mouth and his penis in your butt.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Give me enough icing. in a different way.
That's everything you want.
He could glaze me.
He could glaze you. He could call you his cream puff, and you wouldn't actually be offended for once.
He would glaze me like a scone. Ready, set, bake! We need to move on.
Oh, boy, y'all. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
So, Michael's learned to swimming from the goofballs.
This reminded me of my daddy, because my daddy didn't learn how to swim until he was, I think, like 45.
Shut up.
No, they were poor. They couldn't go to the Red Cross pool or anything. So, but none of them learned how to swim.
Why? Did any of the brothers and sisters know how to swim?
No, I mean, my grandmother was scared. I think maybe Uncle Andy A.W., he maybe, but I don't think Peggy did either. I mean, Peggy bought a pool and everything. That's why my dad got a pool, and they kind of learned to swim. But Peggy had a pool, and she never swam in it. She just had it for her kids and for her husband. My Uncle Johnny liked to swim.
It's so crazy.
They're all still scared of the water some.
Wow. And so, because she was afraid of water, your grandmother?
My grandmother was afraid of air. She was borderline and scared of everything. And so,
but yeah. Michael had, he said, I almost drowned when I was 26. And it's so weird to me because I would, as a child, I just jumped in the water at like age 3 or 4 and I just started swimming.
My parents put me in, and because of Aunt Peggy, all of the kids, the grandkids, they were like, my kids are going to know how to swim. So we all swam.
Yeah, I did swimming lessons. Age. That's where, that's where I learned synchronized swimming and where I was the Joker.
Let that sink in.
If you've never heard that, someone's got the tape. I've been trying
to
ask,
find that. Yeah.
I need to find that tape of when I was the star.
Wow. Did you have to wear waterproof makeup, or by the end of it was your Joker makeup just running everywhere?
I had to wear waterproof makeup, but the makeup did run.
So at the end, it just looked sad.
I was the only one in makeup. Yes, true.
Were you, how perfectionist were you about your face makeup? Did your mom do it for you or did you do it yourself?
No, my mother did it.
And were you yelling at her the time, Mama, make sure you do it.
I'm sure.
Oh, God.
So y'all, of course, the
Persnickety Poodle. Write that
Angela,
little book.
Angela did not want Michael hanging out with the goofballs. And
well, we find out good information about Angela and Michael, y'all.
And y'all, they've been fighting. He says, he admits they've been fighting. She hasn't sent him enough money, but the friends are like, why don't you get a job? She's like, she won't let me, a.k.a. Nicole and Azen.
It's like Nicole, because mom, y'all, Robba Lee still doesn't know. And we just saw the episode where Nicole, even after hearing Azen's voice recording, talking to other women, we think men, after her hearing that, she still goes to fucking Morocco with May.
Marrakesh.
Saying she's going to go for a year. Robba Lee doesn't know about the voice recording, and Robba Lee still doesn't know that the reason Azen doesn't work is because
Nicole
said,
doesn't let
him. I need to be able to text you. It's very, I thought, I
and
wrote
he
that
got
too.
Fired from his restaurant job because she couldn't text him any times.
Yes.
Many times she wanted to.
So it's the same and fucking thing in Control.
And this is Control. And she also doesn't want him to hang out with the goofballs because she thinks they're a bad influence. So she honestly just wants him to be sitting around waiting for her call. And that's a miserable life. Of
miserable,
course he's going to want to do something
life.
Else. Now, he's trying to be an influencer, which makes sense why he wanted to be on social media.
Can I just say something? Is this the first time that they used the I word and actually talked about influencer, I think, in 90 Day Fiancé? Because this is something they have shot.
So.
I think it is. Is this something they shy away from on the show? Already, we're having people talking about feet pics this season. We're talking about influencing. I'm just going to say this. This makes me wary. I don't think this is a good trend coming for 90 Day.
I would agree.
I think with this and with 90 Day Fiancé, I mean, an influencer now is considered a legitimate job, and it is. But
it's still got the stink of social media promotion.
I think we're going to get more and more of these people on 90 Day Fiancé, y'all. Get ready.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yuck. So... Yeah. He's trying to, and that's why he wants to be, he's like, I'm getting an audience, but I'm not taking it down. Because it's my, he sees that as a way to make money. He's dancing.
I've looked at his Instagram, and if it's the one that is his, he has like 2,000 followers and it's private. So either they're together or it doesn't make sense. Sissy
so
Mary.
Maybe this is a red herring or something.
Sissy Mary, let us know. I'm confused about this.
I doubt the veracity of this. I doubted it last season, last Happily Ever After. I doubt it even more this season.
Sissy Mary will let it. Y'all, if you don't listen to our classless, at the end of every class, Sissy Mary does detective work about not really the main people. Usually Poodle and I get obsessed about somewhere.
We get obsessed about ancillary characters, yes. And we need to know where they are.
And she does a fucking deep dive and finds out everything we need to know. So she'll let us know next week and talk about Michael's Instagram.
We heard all about Pow's model agent.
Oh,
we were obsessed with that.
Oh, it was great tea. Y'all, she gets fucking good tea.
He's like, Angela thinks I'm flirty with other women on there, which isn't the case. Now, I understand that why Angela thinks the goofballs might be not be a good influence. But it's like, hey, girls, watch Michael dance. You like that?
You like that? Why are you dating your grandma, Michael? And he's like, that is my wife. That is my wife.
I understand why she might think about that. But anyway,
so
y'all.
I just want to clarify this. Michael's been asking for money from Angela, who's told him not to get a job and is now withholding money from him.
That is correct.
So I want to take that back to a quote Angela said. How can you treat someone you love like this?
Right.
What a piece of garbage.
And I think if you believe the story, that's why I'm saying, I feel like the show... With this interview, the show is setting up a different type of adversarial relationship for the American that I don't think we've seen. And I don't think the show has shied away from that in the past. We have seen them show their fights. And anyone with empathy can see she verbally abuses him. She is horrible to him.
Yeah.
But they can kind of make a mental excuse. But this is different because I think the show is showing us now, is giving us a visual account of this isn't justice. This isn't fair. And because I think it was a gray area before. Was Michael seeing other women? Was this? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think if we believe what Michael is saying here, and that's why I'm thinking the story – I'm not calling for audacity here, but the storyline is so apparent that what is the show trying to say about this story?
Is it for audacity or is it kind of, I guess that's a theme of a lot of these people because they're reality show people. And I think you have to have a bit of narcissism if you're on a reality show. Is it the same thing with what I said, like with Bilal, Angela can't help but be Angela. She can't help but show her ass. And kind of think too highly of herself and kind of like with Usman, she can't help but shoot herself in the own foot. So is this because Angela, now that she's becoming famous, she's arguably probably under Darcy. I would say the probably most popular person from 90 Day
People know her. Yeah.
With all of this happening.
And Ed, probably right under Ed.
And Ed, with all of this happening, is it now she's basically, is she starting to be so big and kind of big in her own britches that the crew can't, they maybe have tried to hide it before, but now it's like, they're like, we can't even shy away from this now because this is the story.
I think the story now is going a different direction.
Cause I never thought about it until you said it. I went, right. They're starting to demonize Angela.
Cause I saw it
asshole.
The last episode. Cause I've been talking about, she's being portrayed in a different way. She seems like I used this word for the podcast, but she seems pathetic. She seems kind of unredeemable. And I think people have thought that before. And it's easy to read into a lot of things and not see what the show is telling you, but just to read into what's there and assuming things about Angela. Because it's very easy to.
Doesn't Michael, or at least in the past.
In the past.
Didn't Michael drive like for Uber or Lyft?
I'm not sure.
Money?
I can't remember.
I cannot remember. He did. And if he did, that's what made it even more sickening when she did that car thing. When I thought, that's something you know he makes money from.
Mm-hmm. Well, her argument is, I own it. Here's the marriage certificate.
Yeah, you don't.
So, y'all, Angela is in Nigeria, baby, with Renee, her friend. And they're smoking in the boys' room. Smoking in the boys' room.
Oh, Renee, I don't think she's much better than Angela.
Well, I think this is a friend who wanted a free trip to Africa.
And wanted to be on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Renee's like, Africa's touching my soul. And so he's like,
did you notice when they played, when she was in Nigeria, by the way, the country music that they played for like Angela's title card, it was the most generic country music. It was like, literally, I feel like, did someone actually look? I bet it was probably, it was just, did someone royalty-free Nigeria, baby, and they actually found a... It was just the most random, basic country song
I did
ever.
Not see it, but... so, there... The thing about this, y'all, is... This is what I wrote down. The American doesn't feel like the protagonist anymore. And that is the... Because a lot of times this show started with other Americans you could put yourself... Because we're... Not to talk down to Americans, we're not a people who can see outside our own experience a lot. We're just not. We're not well known for that in the world. But what we can do is put our eyes in another American's eyes when they go to another country. And I think the show's always done that. And then we almost stopped here. And maybe I'm just seeing it differently. But it feels like the cameras are thinking differently and the editing is thinking differently about her. So think about that. I mean, with that in mind, I want you to think about that as we go through this season.
It's a bit different with Angela, though, because I mean, I'm agreeing with you, but I think there's actually a complexity because we've seen it through. They obviously on the show sometimes will make the Americans look like the bad ones, like the ones who are taking advantage of someone. We've seen that before.
So, but like
Georgian and Fisa, like we've seen,
yeah, but
Bilal and Shida.
I'm talking about a camera gaze, very different.
No. I'm actually agreeing with you. Just let me finish, please. We've had this in the past of like, but I agree with you that they're usually it's more subtle. It's a more like you kind of, if you see it on the outside, that's what we kind of loved about this show is you watch this show and you think this is going to be about people taking advantage of Americans. And you could argue with that, but I'm agreeing with you that like, how can you not watch this? Because Angela's a very divisive person for 90 Day Fiancé. How can you not watch this? Because now they're just showing like, it literally is like, the weight dropped away from Angela or whatever happened. And now we're seeing who she really, the mask is gone.
Yeah.
And we're seeing who she, so I'm agreeing with you, like the way it's shot and the way it's filmed.
And
it's so raw and gross.
I think, and I'll follow that up with the difference here is we could infer our own conclusions before without being shown them.
Yes. And that's what it was subtle or with the other.
This is what I'm saying. We can't argue with the way this is the camera's gaze showing us this.
Which is fascinating that this is one of the most lucrative people in this franchise, mm-hmm. and they're choosing to do this with her.
It is, and I think she's going to be quite unhappy with the edit she gets. Or maybe she's so beyond this, she won't get it. So y'all, the most important thing is they're texting that night at the hotel, and he's like, he's laughing at her, and y'all, you don't do that to Angela,
because she's going to...
Don't play me the fool! She's going to get her, I guess, iced coffees and highball glasses.
Okay. this is going to get everywhere in this car.
And y'all, she's double-fisting these highball glasses and getting in this Uber.
You get the cigarettes in our American hat, Renee. I got it, Angela. All right, let's go.
And she even says, you will not manipulate a woman who's been fucked over her whole life. And
that's where she says that line, who does this to someone they love? And I went, mm-hmm. Girl, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of what you've done to this man for years out of, quote, love. I mean, Skyla, if we remember, even Skyla for the first time this season pointed out Angela's failures in this.
Yeah, I think
so. You're so right.
I think it's different. A lot of times they would show a lot more during In the Moments from her, and we saw it a little bit. But I started seeing it the first time that I'm like, something's different this season. It's different than the way they're covering her.
Well, she's putting on her battle hair. That's for damn sure. She's just grabbing that ponytail brush and just flipping it up, and she's ready, y'all.
Y'all, she's knocking on the door for his house.
I guess that's where her power comes from.
Exactly. He says, that's my car. Even Renee's saying, come out, Michael. We just want to talk to you. And then she starts ripping shit off that car, y'all, as we
saw. You put your feet in my shoe. And I went, that's not the correct way to say that.
And I think, but that's what I'm saying. It is, I think we're past production making her a protagonist.
But what, you know what the difference is too, is that Angela's starting to say the desperateness that we know Kimberly feels mm-hmm. and thinks about, doesn't say, meaning like when Angela says, I put my life on pause for him, and after I'm going to get old and die, and he's got a whole life ahead of him after that.
Right.
And that is exactly the way Kimberly feels, and they don't talk. But that is exactly what Usman needles her and knows. But it's this dance of who's cheating, who's playing who. But here it's so clear.
And what the things that locked us in with Angela a long time ago was how vulnerable she could be in her In the Moments, and how she could nail a feeling. And she was funny, but she was always kind of performing for the camera, I always felt.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think Kim is performing in a lot of ways. I think she can't help herself.
But it does, for the first time, feel like in a long time, Angela isn't performing as much.
I agree.
The only way they could goop us, this would be a Maria goop. I don't think it would happen, but if we end up finding, like, at the end of the season, that Michael, this was a long game, and he's been playing her all along.
And he even cheated on her. Can you imagine?
If he cheated on her, what if he even had a, this is a polygamous country, or not a polygamous, yeah, no.
Polygamous.
Yeah, polygamous. This, what if he had another wife and children? What if he had a, that would be, if they do that to us, I will send Matt Sharp a dozen red roses. I won't.
That
know where
would
he lives.
Be. I don't think we're going to see that.
I don't think we'll see that. Yeah. But that's the only way this would be a surprise. Otherwise, I think we. So, but do we? We see next week. Michael looks madder than we've ever seen him.
I was shocked how he was yelling, because it felt. I'm like, good. You should get that mad.
You should get angry. I don't know. I think after. With the reaction we saw last week, I can't imagine they're going to end up together, stay together.
I don't know. After what we've seen with them. That's all I've got.
Y'all, that's the show.
Watch
all right.
British Baking Show.
Oh, God.
Mostly.
You know what? Though. Until the boxer shows his dick, I don't want to hear about it again. I'm going to need an OnlyFans.
Fair. Only Bakes.
Only Bakes. Only Bakes. All right,
he
everybody.
Stir the batter with his dick.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That is the show. Come see us next week. Remember, y'all, next week's Happily Ever After is going to be a little delayed because it's going to be on our live shows. So we're going to post that schedule on our Instagram. That's where you can. And we'll post it on our public Facebook page. And we'll post it in the Sissy Squad. We'll public on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Remember, we are going to talk about Hay on this season of Hay on every single show,
right,
whether we're talking about that show or not.
Sissy's coming to the Atlanta show. Do not forget to watch Discovery Plus that morning, because we will be talking about it that night at the show.
Yeah, don't be that one person. We said, did everybody watch it? And somebody goes, oh, I didn't. And I was like, girl. Girl, I cannot help you on that. Sorry about that. Anyway, y'all, 90 Day UK is done, but don't you worry. Smothered is still going on. We still have
Single Life.
Single Life is going on as well. We just confirmed and scheduled our interview coming in a couple of weeks at the end of Smothered with Dawn and Cher. So that's going to be happening. And y'all, have a good week. Again, sending our love out to our sissies in Florida.
South Carolina.
South Carolina. We're excited to come to Tampa and give you some joy soon. All right, we call these people lonely hearts, y'all, because aren't we all just the loneliest of hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if it's your birthday and you got that birthday yummy, 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 yummy,
you better get it in Florida.
Call us and ask me how it was. Just let me know how it was.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.